have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
The same. I'm gonna fall down on my knees and call on Jesus' name. Now I'm here to testify how he brought me through. What God did for me, he'll do the same for you.
My Lord, he worked it out.
Yes, he did.
For him, without
a doubt.
The Lord has set me free.
Gave me the victory. Locked out in the cold. No peace within, no will to survive. But when Jesus came in my life, his love abides.
My Lord, he wiped it out.
Yes, he
for
did.
Without
a doubt. Gave me the victory.
The Lord has made a way.
Made a way. Yes, he did.
Oh, yes, I made it through the storm. The Lord, he wiped it out.
Yes, he
for
did.
But God told me that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Now I can rejoice and shout, my God has worked it out.
Worked it out.
Yes, he did.
He worked it out.
He set me free. Gave me the victory.
He
healed my body. Made me whole. He brought me out. And he saved my soul. I will live.
Glory to God. He will work it out. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. This once more again, we're so glad to be here with you, with the Lord, with our marvelous producer, Kimmy Kim, and my God. That song just really stirred some stuff up in me and kind of lines up with what I'm going to be talking about tonight, because God will, God has. He's done it in the past. He's doing it now. Even though it don't look like it's worked out, God will work it out. My God, he will work it out. So, to God be the glory. Before we get started, I'd like to have a word of prayer, as always, and we just thank God for, again, for who he is, for what he's doing in our lives. We thank God for just being God, for just being who he is. You know, sometimes I think back and I look back and I see a time that I was not so lovable, but he loved me anyway. He saved me, washed me, cleaned me, made me whole, made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm thankful for that. You know, sometimes people ask for testimonies, and sometimes we act like we just don't have nothing to do, but if you just or nothing to say, but if you just think about the goodness of the Lord, where you were or where would you be without him right now, there is a praise in your heart, and there is a thank you on your lips, some kind of way, shape, form, or fashion. Because there's been times that all of us have been with our backs against the wall and even got to the place where we felt like we wanted to throw in a towel, but God stepped in at the nick of time. And I'm just grateful for who he is and how he shows up and how he's faithful and how he just loves on me and I love on him. I thank God for this opportunity of knowing who God is. Oh, my God. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity, and we thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you, Lord God, even in the times that you have to chasten us. Your words say you chasten those whom you love. And we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for those who are listening, for those who may not be listening right now but may be listening later on. We thank you, Lord God, as your word go forth, it will not come back to you void. It will accomplish the purpose in which it is sent. And we thank you, Lord God, that it will fall on good ground. We thank you, Lord God, that we bind up the enemy on earth as you bind him up in heaven, that he will not snatch this word out of the hearts of man, but that it will be sown on good, fertile ground, that, God, it will help someone, that they may be able to help others, that you be glorified in the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I was doing my daily devotional, I came across one passage of scripture, well, several different passages of scripture, but the heading was that, you know, it just says simply, I will deliver you from fear. That's God. That's God talking to us. I will deliver you from fear. So somebody, even in the song that she was singing, she talked about there is no weapon that's formed against us that shall prosper. So that right there in itself can bring us some peace of mind, that whatever the plot may be, whatever the scam or the scheme may be of the enemy, whether it be spiritual enemy or your enemy in the flesh that's being controlled by the spiritual enemy, rest assured that whatever the scheme may be, whatever the plot may be, it will not work. It may be formed, but it will not prosper. And we thank God for that promise. In the name of Jesus. The problem is that a lot of times we look at the situation and we think the situation is bigger than what God is. And that is never the case. That is never the case. But as I first looked at that heading, I was thinking, man, this is right on time, because there is a lot of fear that has struck our land. First, we got hit with the pandemic. That was a lot of stress, a lot of fear that went on. And to say there's few people that are still catching the virus, even though it seems to be somewhat more under control, but there's still some who are still catching the virus. But still, there is the true and living God who can and will step in. He will deliver. He will heal. He will set free. But there's that fear. And now after that fear, we're looking at the prices of gas. Some people are more than just sticker shock. They're that. So there's a fear of that. Then there's a fear of the economy. We're talking about the inflation that's at hand. But as the woman of God was singing, God has already worked it out. God said, I will deliver you from fear. A lot of times we don't understand that that's the thing that God doesn't want us to do is fear. He wants us to rest and rest in him. He wants us to rest in his word because he is his word. He said he will not, he cannot deny himself. So we have to study to show ourselves approved. A workman of God need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of God. Because in times like this, we need to know exactly what it is that we're entitled to, what it is our inheritance is, so we can call on God for the manifestation of what it is that actually belongs to us. Many times in the Word of God, we've seen where the people of God would be the ones who would thrive during the time of a famine. And that's because they had their faith. That's because they had their trust. That's because they had, you know, their all in all in God. And I was just looking at Psalms 34. We'll go there. I'm looking at Psalms 34 and 4. It talks about this poor man that cried out. But in the fourth verse, it says that I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. There's not one thing God wants us to be fearful of. A lot of times, the enemy sends fear so that we can act off of fear, or when we act off fear, instead of us listening to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God, we will act off fear, and fear will cause us to sometimes move in a direction that we need not to move in, and causes us to miss a blessing, causes us not only to miss a blessing, but it causes us to make the wrong move when if we had only trust God, God would have worked it out. I know some people don't understand this but it's very much real. I'm getting into a place or I have been placed in a place to where I understand more and more now what God means when he said, be still and know that I'm God. There are some situations that we get ourselves in and it feels like we're in quicksand. And everybody knows that the more you're in quicksand, once you get in quicksand, the more you wrestle, the more you tussle, the more you try to get out, the faster you begin to sink, panic mode. But if you just be still in situations like that, a lot of times if you just be still and know that he's God, and trust God, you will see him move in a miraculous way. You will see him deliver you in a way that you can't deliver yourself, my God. And God sometimes allows us to get in these situations or these places so that we can realize that we're not God. He allows us to get in some of these circumstances, these places, so that we'll realize that he is God, and besides him, there is no other. He allows us to get in predicaments like that, so we won't go straying off looking towards other gods. And I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes we get caught up in certain things till we make certain things our idol without us really knowing or understanding that we have made a particular thing our idol. I'm guilty. I'm guilty of that. Particular idol had actually became my job. My job had actually became my idol without realizing that's what had happened. You're putting in 12 hours a day, 12 hours turning into 18 hours. You're only doing like four days. You're getting 3 days off, and then next thing you know, they're wanting to call you back in. And to you, it looks like it's just free, easy money, you know. So you next thing you know, you're in there 7 days a week, and God's speaking to you, and God telling you rest, and you're thinking, well, you know, it's such an easy job. I'm good. I don't really need the rest. But God knows better than we know. And the minute we keep holding on to it more so than obey God, that thing becomes an idol or a god to us. So, I did. I got sidetracked somewhat because of fear. What happens is a lot of times we get to the place where we get fearful and we think that we're not going to accomplish the things that we want to accomplish, or we're gonna have something less than what we would like to have, and we just sometimes just lose our focus on who God is and what God can do and who he is in our life. But when I look at Psalms 34:4 again, he says, he sought the Lord, and the Lord heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. He didn't deliver him from some of his fears. He delivered him from all his fears. Let's look at the fifth verse. It says, they looked upon him, and they were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. God, as long as we're trusting God, as long as we're living for God, God not going to let us be ashamed. He said, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Now, he's not just saving him from his fears, but he saved him also from all of his troubles. What is it that's troubling you tonight? What is it that has been troubling you? Has it been your job? Has it been your wife? Has it been? Let me back up a little bit. Because sometimes on your job, there's certain things that happen sometimes on your job. And what happens sometimes on your job is one or two things. There may be a promotion on that job that God is trying to get you into, or he's pushing you into, and the enemy is buffeting you to make you quit and leave. That, or either it could be simply your time to move from that job, and God is pushing you out. You have to really seek God and find out what is his direction for your life in that situation. But the main thing is, don't let fear overtake you in that situation. Fear is a tormenting spirit, and what fear wants to do is grip you and paralyze you, so that you can't move, so that you can't do what you need to do or defend yourself. Or I can help somebody. I remember growing up, I used to watch certain cats, certain birds, certain animals, and I used to watch cats sometimes see a bird, and he would get to a place to where he would just look at that bird and just stare him down and just freeze. And if he caught the eye of that bird and that bird saw that cat, the bird would literally freeze and wouldn't move. And next thing you know, that cat would just pounce on him. That's what fear does. Fear will paralyze you if you allow it to. The thing about it is that you have to stay in the Word. You have to stay prayed up. You have to stay focused, if you will, with the Word and with the Lord. It says, poor man cried out. That's the sixth verse. And God saved him out of all his troubles. In the seventh verse, it says, and the angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him and deliver them. Now, God don't want us to have a spirit of fear, but those who fear God, those who reverence God, those who respect God, those who know that God is no joke. The word says that the angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear him, and they too deliver them. And then he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Other translation says there is no lack for those who fear him. David put it this way, I've been young and I've been old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, neither begging of bread. There are just promises that God gives the saints, and God desires us not to faint, not to walk in fear. It doesn't matter how dark it gets. You're still, because he's in you, you are still the light of the world. Because he's in you, you're still the salt of the earth. And this is what we have to display so that others may have hope in the God that we serve. In the 10th verse, it says, the young lions do lack for hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Listen, it didn't say that those who seek the Lord will not want any good thing during the time of a famine. It just said we will not lack anything, and we shall not want any good thing. Even in the time of famine, even in the time of inflation, even in that time, fear is not us. It's not a part of us. It's not in our DNA. It may have been at one time, but no. As God grows us, as God matures us, and he reminds us that he didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, but of love and a sound mind. My God, that took me back. We realized that he did not call us into a place of torment. He did not call us into a place of being uneasy. He called us into a place of peace. My mind went back to right after I first got saved, or right when I got saved. I've shared that part of my testimony several times. I used to have anxiety attacks. And everybody, I know everybody can't relate to that, but what happens a lot of times with those panic attacks, I could actually be in a conversation with somebody just like I'm talking right now, and thing of fear would hit me. And part of me would want to scream, and part of my mind would say, boy, don't you scream, Because if you scream, you're going to lose your mind. But the other part would be like, scream, scream, so that you don't lose your mind. And I was like, I was stuck in between the two. But I can remember a time, even after God had delivered me from panic attacks, I remember a time waking up late or real early in the morning, clock in the morning, and I started having this panic attack. And I got up, and I remember walking to my living room around the coffee table, and I began to speak out of my mouth. God did not give me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and that of a sound mind. And I kept speaking it. I kept speaking it. I kept speaking it. And at the same time, my body was trembling from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet because that panic attack had hit me. But the more I spoke that, my nerves and everything, it began to receive peace off of the Word of God. I can't stress it enough that the Word of God works. The Word of God works if you're working. But in order to work the Word, you have to know the Word. You have to know the Word. In the 17th verse of it says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Again, what is it that we need to be fearful of? Nothing. Not a thing. I'm reminded of how Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. He said, my yoke is mild, it is gentle, it is meek. He said, take my yoke upon you. And he said, and learn of me, and he will give you rest. He said, his yoke and his burden is light, is easy. Take his yoke upon you. And he said, I give you rest. A lot of times when we're in that stressful mode, when we're in that time of fear, that's the time that God wants you to trust him more. That's the time that God wants you to give him that fear so that you can learn of him, so that you can learn how he steps in, so that you can learn of his great goodness and his mercy and his grace. Sometimes we don't realize or understand how much God is really in our corner. Sometimes we don't understand just how good he is or how magnificent he handles our problems. And that's where fear comes in, because that's when we want to step in and do it ourselves. Do it ourselves. A lot of times that's when we start looking towards the arm of flesh. We start looking towards a buddy. Who can I make it? Who can I invest in? What business partner can I get with? Who looks like they're doing good right now so I can hook up with them? Lord have mercy. I have literally seen people get with certain people for situations like that. And God turned back around and caused everything to dry up. Just as long as that person is there, because his agenda or her agenda is wrong. And then as soon as they leave, the person they joined up with begin to flourish again. Oh, my God. That might be a little bit too much for some people. I say it like this. Because, see, you have to be careful, because every marriage out there is not of God. Oh, Lord, did he say that? Yes, he said that. I said it again. Every marriage out there is not of God. It don't matter who you got to perform that ceremony. Just because they say they love God don't mean they love God. because they say they know God, they got a relationship with God, they don't mean they don't mean that stuff. Just because they say they fear God don't mean they fear God. And some they say they love God, they fear God, and they do everything under the sun. They feared him, they wouldn't do what they do. But my God, going back to the subject at hand, he don't want us to be in fear. He wants us to trust him. The only fear he wants us to have is a reverence kind of fear that we should have towards him. 1 John 4:15. First John 4:15. Thank you for your patience. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. 18th verse says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. I just said that a few minutes ago. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. That's the goal. That's the key. We need to be trying to be made perfect in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. If there's a fear, we need to check ourselves and find out just exactly who we are. Because it just said right here, if we have perfect love, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. That's why I'm saying God don't want us to be walking around in torment. I have been in torment before. It's not good. It's not good. I try to be real transparent and because in this walk I have not been perfect. There's been times that I've disobeyed God, missed God, and in that time God has chastened me. So I know during the time of chastening, fear becomes very present. Very present, to the point to where you begin to think, God, if I ever make it out of this, some of y'all have been there. Some of y'all may not have been as deep as I have. Some of y'all have been there when, you know, you kept drinking that Coke 45, you kept drinking that MD 2020, you kept drinking that B-52 or that Singapore Sling. So I'm telling on myself now, but you kept doing it, and you got that hangover, and then next morning you kept, God, I ain't gonna do that no more. I ain't got it. You just get me out of this before, yeah. And then he gets you out of it, and then a couple of weeks later you do it again. No, this is what I'm talking about. It gets real because there is a spirit realm, and God has a way of placing you in places that you feel like you're here, but you're not here. I know I might be going a little bit too far right there, but anyway, fear, for those who don't believe me, trust me, fear has a torment. It has a torment. And God don't desire for us to be there. So sometimes God, even in his chastening, He will set things up to make you realize and see his way is the best way. His way is the best way. 19th verse says, we love him because he first loved us. That is so true. I know myself, growing up, I know that I had a drawing, I had a love for God, I had a love for the things of God. I couldn't read the word. When I was about 2 or 3 years old, I couldn't read the word. I couldn't read at two years old, but I would take a Bible, I would take a book, even though I didn't know, but I would take it in the restroom, I would take the toilet seat down, and I would place the towel over the toilet seat, and I would mumble little words with my fingers going across the pages, and then I'd hit the Bible or the book and holler hat like I was preaching. Didn't know nothing, but I used to enjoy getting away doing that. I can remember doing that, and I remember my parents caught me one time in the restroom doing that, and it was like, oh my God, this boy in here calling himself preaching, but I didn't know that I wasn't calling myself. It was God that had to call on me. But that love was nothing to the magnitude of the love that I have for him now, that he has brought me to the truth, to the knowledge, that he has brought me out of the light, out of the darkness into the marvelous light. He loved me, and I said that earlier, he loved me when I wasn't lovable. He loved me during the time that, my God, that I didn't deserve to be loved. He loved me. And I'm so thankful for that. Because if he had not loved me the way he loved me, there's no way I could have grown to the place to where I could love him the way I love him now. Oh, my God. I don't know if I can get it across to you now. I'm quite sure I'm not the only one, but there's days that I can just walk through or walk through the house and just think about God and then begin to just get down on my knees and just begin to shed tears and just begin to say, thank you, God. Not asking for anything, just thank you. Just thank you. I am grateful for who he is in my life. Let's go to 2 Timothy 1 and 7. 2 Timothy 1 and 7. And that's the one that I've been quoting during this time that we've been on here. For God have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Listen, if God did not give you that spirit of fear and you are feeling some type of fear, who's trying to give it to you? It just said right here, God didn't give it to you. So if God didn't give it to you, you best believe and know there's a devil somewhere trying to bring fear, trying to upset you, trying to get you to lose your ground, trying to lose your faith. There is a devil somewhere trying to make you lose control of the situation. But God did not give you a spirit of fear. He gave you power. And a lot of times we as saints, we as believers, don't understand the power that we possess. He said, whatsoever you bind on earth, he will bind it in heaven. Whatsoever, there is no exclusions. There is no exception to the rule. If you bind it, God said he will bind it. He said if you loose it, he said he's going to loose it also. He said, I gave you the authority to the kingdom of heaven that whatsoever you bind on earth, he'll bind it to. Our problem is that we don't believe. We see it, we speak it, we say it, But if faith is not mixed with the word, if we do it even out of sedition, Jesus said, tradition of men bring the word of God to no effect. So we have to exercise. We have to exercise our faith. But what God gave us is power and love and a sound mind. Listen, that's where the battle is fought. The battle is fought in our mind. And a lot of times, I don't know if people can remember some of the old cartoons or some of the different things, how they would illustrate how on one shoulder a devil would pop up and whisper in the guy's ear, and then on the other shoulder an angel would pop up and whisper in the guy's ear. That's comical, but that's pretty much how it really works. You're stuck. A lot of times you're stuck right there in the middle of what God is doing and a distraction of what the enemy is trying to do. And the enemy wants to make some of us sometimes, he wants some of us sometimes believe, or he wants to make some of us sometimes believe that we're losing our mind. Especially if God is beginning to call you into the ministry. Especially if he has called you into the ministry and he's now beginning to use you in the office of a prophet or a prophetess or even evangelist. But if the gift of prophecy is there, sometimes the enemy really try to bombard you and make you think that you're losing your mind. I can't count the number of times that I've been in different services where God has had me call out different people and tell them, God said, there's nothing wrong with you. God said that you're not about to lose your mind. And the people break down and cry like babies because they will really think their mind. There's this, and let me say this, there's a reason why a lot of times we go through stuff that we go through, and that's because God is going to take us to a place of leadership to where we'll be able to look at someone and see what they're going through because we've been there. And because we've been there, God would allow us to pull them out of a stuck place. And I just, you know, I used to hear different preachers say, whatever we're going through, whatever you're facing, this, that, and that. And the third, they would say, it's necessary. It's necessary. And I would say, man, y'all losing y'all mind. Ain't no way this mess right here that I'm going through, excuse me, it's necessary. But now I can look back and see some of the things that God have allowed me to suffer and God brought me through and say, yes, it was necessary because somewhere behind me was another me that was in a stuck place who need me by the grace of God to pull them out, to speak a word in due season, that someone else might be able to be healed, that someone else might be able to be delivered, that somebody else might be set free. We just love the Lord tonight, every night, and we just give him praise. Don't let enemy play with your mind. I know, like I said, I know there's a lot going on. I talked about a little bit because of the famine, a little bit because of the pandemic. I talked a little bit about, you know, the inflation. It's got some people fearful. And then, of course, my God, these mass shootings, I'm quite sure, have got some people traumatized as well. And I was just talking to somebody today. They was like, man, I don't even know, what store to go into, what not store to go into. They're mindful. Excuse me, I don't know what's going on, but they're mindful of, you know, where they are and everything like that. and it's because there is an alert, there is a tension that's going on in the air. Look, in the realm. Listen, there's a difference between being aware, being on your P's and Q's. That's okay. But just don't let fear grip you. Fear grip you. As man and as woman of God, we still have to function. And we still have to do. And we still have to answer the call of God that's on our life. And fear has no place in us. So with that being said, I'm going to bring this to a close. But if you're listening under the sound of my voice, if you have that fear, like the scripture said, perfect love casts out all fear. If you have that fear, you can get rid of it tonight. And the way you get rid of it is just give your heart to God wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. Don't play with it. Be sincere. When you be sincere, just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you as a sinner. I believe that Jesus is your only begotten Son. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins. I believe that on the third day you raised him from the dead with all power in his hands. I believe this with my heart and I confess it with my mouth. And you said that if I did so, I shall be saved. So, Father, I'm asking Jesus to come into my heart. I'm asking you to wash me with your blood. I'm asking you to make me a new creature in Christ Jesus. I am right now renouncing fear. I'm renouncing the devil because he has no more place in me. He has no more control over me. He has no more authority in me. He has no part in me. So the fear must go in Jesus' name. And I pick up the word of the Lord that says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Father, thank you for saving me. Thank you for making me a new creature in Christ Jesus. Thank you for doing away with the fear. Now, if you have, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, if you have prayed this prayer with me, you can reach me easily on Facebook. You can reach me not only on Facebook, you can reach me on Snapchat. Yeah, I'm on Snapchat. I'm also on Instagram. Give me a text. Give me a call. If you need prayer, hit a brother up. We'll be glad to pray with you. We'll be glad to pray for you. We will rejoice just like the angels in heaven rejoice when one has given their lives to God. And we thank God for you. So until next time, next week, we'll say unto you again, whatever you do, do it in decency. Do it in order, but for most of all, do it for his glory. Kimmy Kim, will you take us out of here, please, in Jesus' name. We love you. We thank you. Amen. I'm out.
I'm trying to get ready. I'm trying to get ready and to get ready for Jesus to come.
Sometimes I wonder how long can the world continue to stand with brother killing brother, no love in this land.
But the natural truth is
The time.